welcome to In and Under as we break down round four of the AFL season. What a weekend it was in Adelaide. What a place to have it. It was unreal and I can't wait for it to be over. It's finished. Fucking glad it's finished. Sick of everyone bigging up Adelaide. It's like paid propaganda. It's ridiculous. But here we are. And let's get footy back to the spiritual home at the MCG, shall we?
I'm gonna ignore the blatant ignorance towards Adelaide for a second. And I just want to mention, you sound pretty bubbly, mate. If I didn't know any better, it sounds like you've had a glass of soda water before starting this intro.
I'm not starting on a sour note. I've tried to put that out of my memory from last episode for good reason. I'm sure there'll be plenty of others who can't wait to delete that from their memory. But as usual, mate, I come to you with a very important update, and it is in the form of jumbled letters, and that's what we call an anagram. Let's call it an Alexgram, shall we?
We love the anagram. An allogram.
An allogram. That's a good one. We'll give you that. So I'm giving it to you now, and it is a question. Can Gavin Jink? CanGavinJink. Grab your pens, grab your that pencils. If
you, listener, haven't figured that out right now, you need to go back to school.
Look, quite an easy one. I wanted to just get us rolling with a nice easy one. Warm those brains up, get the grey matter involved. Can Gavin
and guys,
Jink,
surprise,
you've got the episode to think about it.
Surprise segment of the week, English word of the week. Alex, can you tell us what jink means?
Jink means that's what I do in and out of opponents when I'm playing football, and I have no idea if it's a real word or not.
What did you just say?
No, you know when you like jink in and out of space? Like, I feel like that's a sporting term.
It's absolutely not. Oh, I've never heard that. Oh, did you see that sick jink he just did?
What is it then, mate? Your linguistics expert.
This is great. That is a great question. I'm glad you asked it because I have no idea.
I'm not sure it is a real word, to be honest.
Quality. This is the quality you give in your anagrams, mate. It's a brilliant thing. Let's give our listeners all the time they can to figure that one out, and let's get stuck in to another week of AFL.
Goodbye, Adelaide. Thank you for that wonderful round.
It doesn't get any better than that, champion. I'll tell you what. Get a big dog up your Collingwood. You fucking deserve it.
I don't know if you're being serious or not.
No, I'm not being serious. Sick of hearing how good Adelaide is, genuinely. It wound me up. I actually love Gather Round. I think it's a great concept. I hate all the bullshit. Everyone on every broadcast going, it's fantastic, it's fucking amazing, it's the best thing that's happened to the sport. It's just around, folks.
You know what you sound like? A fucking biased Victorian.
I am, mate, and I'm happy to say that. Get footy back to its rightful place.
What is wrong with people, you know, applauding Adelaide? Adelaide's a great place and the Gather Round has been very successful.
It's just too much.
So what's wrong?
You get tired of the same narrative when you're over and over again. And this is not even related to footy.
I get tired.
For years.
I get tired of fucking MCG, fucking Telstra Dome, fucking sick of the pies. Do you know what I mean? It's about time people talk about Adelaide and in association with the AFL. But just Adelaide in particular. Adelaide should be put on the map. Adelaide is one of the greatest cities in the world. And I've lived and travelled to a lot of places, and I stand by that.
Well, good riddance, as Green Day would say.
Yeah, so Gather Round successful. Let's talk about some
Well, do we want to talk about the games first or some news first?
Let's get into some news. And this is still on the Adelaide, the Gather Round special. There was a TV special last week hosted by none other than Adelaide's finest, Eddie Maguire, because he weasels his way into anything with a pulse, that bloke. And he was hosting this entertainment show. But the highlight of it, which I didn't see because I didn't watch because it was hosted by Eddie Maguire, but I saw a highlight of this, and it was Isaac Rankin. And now I know why the Crows have been struggling, because their best forward's tuning his guitar and he's learning how to play a Frey cover. And it was fucking sick. I did not know he had that in his locker. But yeah, not sure it matters much to Adelaide fans, but lovely to see a AFL player with some talent outside the sport. Did you see it, what I'm referring to?
Yeah, I did. He was definitely nervous at the start, wasn't he? But fair play to him. Like,
as you would be.
You don't... Yeah. No, absolutely. But
Eddie Maguire breathing down your neck.
how good to see you. How good to see an AFL player like do that, like show another side of them, another talent. You don't see that often, so it was great. Did you see Eddie Maguire was wearing Collingwood Guernsey, and Port Adelaide fans just thought he was wearing the prison bar?
I thought he should come out in a prison bar. That would have been good comedy. A prison bar thing. A prison bar suit, that would have been brilliant. It is what you can't have, Adelaideans.
That is the epitome of the AFL, though, isn't it? They've got this massive gather around where it's all focused on, you know, showcasing a different state, and they've got the biggest biased Victorian twat hosting the main event for it. It's fucking ridiculous.
That bloke, I don't know who, like, owes him a favour, but he can get his place in any, like, broadcast. He just says the word and he's on. Like, you want to see a cooking show, he could be the host. You want millionaire hot seat, he's there. You want to watch some footy, he's on commentary.
Yeah, nah, it's criminal. But
he encapsulates big bias, again, I'll give you that.
Yeah, absolutely.
If big bias was a person, it's Eddie Maguire.
and BT. But yeah, I don't want to take away from, you know, mentioning Isaac Rankin. I thought that showed a lot of courage for him to do that. And yeah, he sounded great.
He did. Great really song choice
I don't know about... Oh, see, that's where I disagree. I didn't really like the song much.
Oh, really? So I thought that was a unique pop song.
No, I'm not a fan. Not a massive fan of it. So that's... I found it hard to get into because of that, but... Yeah, I really enjoyed his performance anyway.
Yeah, and I think the Crows fans were hoping he'd sing How to Save a Life by the Frey, but changed it to How to Save a Season.
Where did we go wrong? We lost Phil Thorpe.
We went to camp. And Eddie Betts never came back.
Too soon. Let's move right on from that.
Let's get into the games.
That can of worms for you.
Get into that wicked round.
We still got... Nah, can we bring up just one more bit of news before we get into it?
Go on, mate. You've got the mic. You ready?
Got floor. There was an incident between one of the games that we'll mention later, Jeremy Finlayson, Port Adelaide forward, is under investigation currently for using a homophobic slur during that game. Now, we've already seen Alistair Clarkson get a fine for using a homophobic slur this year. We don't know what the term was. But what we can say, and something I don't think I've seen really before, is that Jeremy Finlayson acknowledged what he said actually at three-quarter time and told his club about it and went and apologized to the player straight after as well, which I think is great. You know, we definitely make mistakes, and I'll put my hand up. I make mistakes every day, and I say things that I don't really think I've, you know, said the right thing and have misrepresented myself. And I think it's just great that he was able to recognize that at the time and go, fuck, I've probably said something to heat of the moment here. It's not right. I'll go and apologize. And like, I just think it's more believable and more authentic if you know he's done it in the moment. Whereas, you know, a lot of these players that apologize after, you can never really tell if that's scripted or not, if that's the club going, hey, make sure you apologize just so you don't get into trouble or make our club look bad. So I like that Jeremy's taken it upon himself, gone, yep, I fucked up. I'm sorry. And I think there's, like, I think that's great. I think, you know, you should almost be applauded for that. I think it takes courage to do that as well.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on it?
I don't fully agree, because I think A, probably has only come out and said it because he's heard someone complain or mention it to the ref. I think he's, like, I do think it's a step in the right direction, but let's not downplay the fact that he used a homophobic slur, which, you say you make mistakes, I bet you don't say too many homophobic slurs in your day-to-day life, because that should not be something in our dialect.
Yeah, I don't condone hymns. I don't condone those words, but I appreciate anyone who can acknowledge that they've made a mistake.
Yeah, I can get around that. I like that he's acknowledged his mistake. Does it make it any better for me? No. Obviously, he should still face just the same punishment as whether he acknowledged it or not, but I appreciate that he's taken accountability before the game's even finished.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think he shouldn't be, fined or whatever the sanction is, but I just want to see that more when people make these mistakes, that they're, you know, show maturity and accountability for it. And I praise him for that. Games.
Yeah, totally. I'll leave you to praise him on that one, and I'll stick to me non-praise.
Okay. Let's get into the round that was.
Go on, mate. What game kicked off Gather Round? The home team, of course, home team advantage. And this is another problem I have with it, which we will get into.
We'll get into that. So Friday night, Port Adelaide played Essendon. It was... unbelievable game to start.
Come on, mate. Which game opened the round? You've got to take accountability, Finlayson.
I actually don't know.
The Crowies played Melbourne, and we all know the result when the Crowies play at home in one of their many home games this season. It wasn't at the MCG. It was against an undermanned Melbourne. Stephen May playing with three broken ribs and a fractured back. Absolutely bullies the Crowies.
Oh.
It's just laughable watching the Crowies play. I didn't watch this game, but fuck me, did I have a good chuckle when I saw the scoreline, because... I tell you, I can't wait for you to play North.
It's funny.
It's
funny, is it? I'm glad. I'm glad someone's laughing, mate.
Unreal, mate. Unreal. Tell us what happened, because I didn't watch the game. Were you ever a chance, or were you rubbish?
What happened is the Crows 22 players lost to the Melbourne's 22 players in a game of AFL football by 15 points.
It's not a shame. Like, losing to Melbourne is not a mean feat. Like, they're a good side. There's nothing wrong with losing Melbourne. But the streak you're on, you were supposed to... They didn't read the plot, because the fairy tale was Crowies get their first win to open Gather Round, and it didn't happen. But what is going wrong, mate? With your footy brain, tell us what they need to do to fix their problems.
You know what is the most, like, disappointing thing is that this is probably the best game we've played all year. So it's I feel very ambivalent about this one, because like, I saw a lot of positives and a lot of good things from the game, but we just couldn't get the Chocolates against a very good team, might I say. And that's what I put it down to. Like, if we played that against, you know, 15 of the other teams in the AFL, we probably win. So I think it's easy to look at the Crows in this game and just be like, oh, they're shit because of our current form. But like, as a neutral, trying to be as non-biased as possible, we actually played a good game of footy. And we just played a very good team.
Just especially not enough to win this one.
No, but we played a very good defensive team. Like, Stephen May was amazing. Jake Lever was amazing.
He'd be good if you had him at Crowies, wouldn't he?
Yeah. In fact, he was good when he was there, the cunt. But yeah, look, it's just been the tale of our season. Again, we were better at it, but just our entry work inside 50, just our skills, again, weren't clean enough. Again, credit to Melbourne. They played super one-on-one defense against our forwards. So it made it hard for us even when we did deliver well inside 50. But yeah, again, I'm actually proud of the way we played. I thought we played really well. It's just very bitter knowing that we're 0-4 now. It's hard to swallow.
You wouldn't have thought, obviously, you were quite big on the Crows. You were quite excited coming into the season. You obviously did not have this on your bingo card for AFL 2024. How disappointed are you as a fan of the Adelaide Crows being 0-4?
I'm not disappointed. I genuinely am not. I'm upset that we're 0-4, but I'm not disappointed.
You sound like you're about to cry, mate. Just take it.
Oh no, I was crying. I just edited that out. yeah, no, I'm not disappointed. Like I still think we are playing the style of footy that can beat any team. It's not coming together yet. I'm really proud of the way we've developed the last few years. So I don't really have, although I thought we were going to have a really good year and it was easy to believe that based on last year, I still didn't have, you know, unrealistic expectations. Like, yeah, I thought we could maybe make top 8, top 6, but I also was realistic that probably might not be for another year or so. So I'm just... Yeah, I'm happy with how we're developing. We should be probably have a couple more wins under our belt this year. That's what's upsetting, but yeah, I'm not disappointed. Moving on to next week.
No, that's it, mate. It does feel a little bit like you're backtracking. I feel like there was plenty of optimism at the start of the year. You were going to do this, you were going to do that. He's going to win the Brownlow, he's coach of the year. And now you're all of a sudden, you're happy with a 0-4 and you're taking the positives, mate. But that is the life of an Adelaide person, isn't it, eh?
This optimism is great, though, isn't it, when you haven't lost the game. So, yeah. I still think we can turn it around. I still think we can turn it around. I'm just upset. I think that's valid.
Who do you play this week? Oh, we'll get into that later.
Yeah, we'll get into that later. But it's a little spoiler. It's not an easy game.
These look really good is the takeaway from that game. Two wins in Adelaide, both in tough conditions with, I don't know, the hype around Adelaide this week. It would have been easy for Adelaide to get the win, I think, but they didn't. Melbourne held strong and they looked like genuine premiership candidates.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into Brisbane versus North Melbourne, a non-contest. Like,
Lions would have been licking their lips at this. After the start they've had just to pummel a team, and North were... I've watched each of North games. They were shite this week. They well and truly deserved to get battered, and they did. So, got what was coming to them. Very disappointing start of the year for them, but they've just continued where they left off. And Lions, this could get them back to winning ways, I suppose.
You hope so. You hope so if you're a Lions fan. Mm. But yeah, breaks their duck. So they've got a win on the board now. They won 112-42. So they smashed them by 70 points. So
yeah.
Yeah, not much more to say from that game, really.
No, and going into the next game, which was Essendon versus, who was it?
Port.
No. Was it Port?
Oh, yeah, mate.
Essendon Port. I didn't really watch much this one, as you can tell. 69-point winners, Port Adelaide, in this one. So kind of the same thing. Essendon
another drubbing, yeah.
Did not have their edge that has been spoken about a lot in the last few weeks, and they were pretty fucking miserable. So they're a weird team. They're only really good in Melbourne, aren't they?
Yeah, well, they're just so unpredictable, Essendon. And I feel like they have been for the last few years. Like, on their day, they can beat good teams, but
yep.
It's few and far between when their day is. So, yeah, they were disappointing. They still had some good performers. Like, Merritt was really good. Martin was good again. But, yeah, so not much impact. Port were just very dominant. Connor Rosie is a fucking jet.
Rosie, absolutely phenomenal performance in this one. Yeah. And what a midfielder is. Like, Wine sat this one out, but just Butters and Rosie are going to be a formidable duo for a long time. Well,
and Horn Francis, came back into the team after a bit of a hammy issue, but looks like that's sorted. The bloke got 31 touches, so he's really coming into his own, and he's going to be a fucking dangerous player.
Absolutely. But yeah, standard win for Port at home. They showed the Adelaide fans that there was stuff to cheer about, being a local team, getting the win.
All right, mate. Let's we'll go into my old local, Mount Barker, where West Coast played the Sydney Swans. Actually, a pretty good game. West Coast played really, really well.
Yeah, you watched a lot of this one, and it seems like from the score and loosely following the score at home that West Coast put up a real good fight.
Yeah, they did. They probably just fell away in that last quarter there, so they... West Coast 78 lost to Sydney 104, so it was 26 points in the end. But yeah, I don't think that was a tale of actually how close it was. It was sort of anyone's game going into the last quarter. West Coast even won their first quarter,
the
second quarter of the game. Yeah, oh. So that's the first quarter they won all year. So yeah, it was quite a good game to watch as well.
Harley Reid looked like he had a big game for his first real sort of showing since becoming an AFL player.
Massive game. I think he had like... They've brought in this new stat as well. It's called EFOs, effective fend-offs.
EFOs?
Yeah. And you know what? This is a good segue. We've actually found an expert statistician, right? And we're going to bring him on next week, because there's a couple things we have no idea about that he can help us with. And like last week we mentioned clangers, and the week before score launches. We've got EFOs this
week.
Save
it for the quiz, mate.
Yeah, well, we're going to get him on next week, and he's going to clarify what those things are for us. But yeah, they said Harley Reid, well, I think broke a record or equaled a record. Well, no, yeah, he was the first year player to get 7 broken tackles in a game. The record is held by Dusty, I think. But yeah,
he's Dusty-esque, isn't he, Harley Reid?
Well, he is. He was like the player they compared him to when he was coming into the draft. He's very fucking powerful. Like, I watched him break tackles like they were nothing. And, like, big boys trying to tackle him as well, like Brody Grundy, and he'd throw them off like they were nothing. So he's going to be an absolute weapon, that bloke. Like, that's the game I watch, and I'm like, yeah, he is that and a bag of chips.
Mm.
That and a bag of krumpir chips. He's he's going to be a serious talent. He had 18 and a goal. So, yeah, lot to look forward to. Harley Reid, and you'd be licking your lips as an Eagles fan.
Thoughts on Mount Barker and Norwood being stadiums? Do you like the local grounds getting a show?
Yeah, I do. I do. I we mentioned that at the start of the year, I think. I like Norwood as an oval. I like how small.
Very narrow, isn't it?
Yeah, but I like that about it. Small and intimate, like it's like a good little feeling there. I like that about it. Mount Barker, is a nice, lovely oval. The only issue is it gets very windy there. But they brought those stands in, so I think that would have protected it a bit from the wind. But you could tell, like, players were going one way. They were, like, kicking, having set shots from, like, 70 out. That's how strong the breeze was.
Yeah. So I like seeing it, and I like the spotlight bit on it, but I feel like it's a better spectacle live than it is watching from home. I don't think you get as good of a broadcast, obviously different camera angles and stuff like that, but not that it's criminally bad. But I love seeing the local ovals get used. So
yeah, I think it's great. It's great for the game, and it's great for, you know, the local places that they're in, like for Mount Barker, like the amount of, you know, how much that would have benefited the economy there and stuff is awesome. So
absolutely
love to see that. We'll go to the next game, which was at the Adelaide Oval, and that this was a very close game,
full of low controversy scorer. This one,
yeah, well, talk us through it, mate. There was a bit of controversy in the game.
Only watched the second half, but the first half it looked like it was a classic 3-0 game where they were able to keep scores real tight, low scorer, close game. Held Kerner and Mackay scoreless, I think, in the first half. And I don't know if Mackay even kicked one in the game. So did a great job on him. Ended up being real close. Again, low scoring affair, but real close up until the final quarter and even the final few minutes. And it was essentially won by Cottrell kicked a goal to put them a few points up. Carlton, that is. They ended up winning. And in the midst of all that, you had Jordan Clark giving abuse to an umpire, I believe, for a decision. They were arguing essentially that the ball had hit James Aish on the way through to Cottrell marking it. I think it was Cottrell or Kennedy, one of the two. I think Kennedy kicked the next one. Anyway, I'm rambling. So they were arguing Aish touched the ball. This happens all the time, though, and it, again, it probably should be a rule change where it's just if the ball doesn't bounce, it's considered a mark, because there's so many like fingertips and he touched that and it never gets paid. But obviously this one mattered. Goes ahead, Cottrell kicks the goal. Jordan Clark continues to argue. Free kick's paid centre of the ground. Jordan Clark continues to argue. Free kick 50 metres where he stood. Dead in front, Matthew Kennedy kicks a goal to seal the game for Carlton. So it kind of ruined the finish because it could have been a centre bounce after Cottrell, 3-0 potentially win it, go the other end and kick a goal to win the game or at least go ahead. But this kind of made it a non-event for the final minute and a half, say. But Carlton winners, and 3-0 arguably were robbed. They were probably the more organised team all game.
Were they robbed though? Like this is where, like, I don't know if I agree that it's controversy because
go on,
like Jordan Clark did the wrong thing, like,
yeah,
you can't do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I did like, did you see, is it Long Muir, the coach, Longmire's Sydney, and Long Muir came out and he said no, we shouldn't have done it. I don't want that to be the focal point. We know that you can't do that, and he shouldn't have argued. We can only control what's in our control, and he shouldn't have said that. So I really respect that from a coach's standpoint. He wasn't making any excuses. And yeah, the players know they take responsibility when it comes to umpire abuse. So I respect it.
Oh, that's good, mate. Wish you respected Jeremy Finlayson. all right, let's move into the LCM match of the round.
LCM match.
Has to be.
Why LCM?
I don't know. I'm just picking a random sponsor every week. Until we get a sponsor, until one catches on.
Yeah, could be. Well, get your sponsors lined up then. Because it could be a while.
Game of the round, genuinely, it was after the Carlton game on the Adelaide Oval as well, between the Western Bulldogs, who played the Geelong Cats. And the score of that was 14 goals, 7.91 to 14 goals, 11.95. So there was 4 points in it. Very, very tight contest. All game, really, as well.
It didn't feel like, I don't know, it was ever not going to be a Geelong win, though, from where I was watching.
Yeah, it's Geelong were getting in front, and every time they did, Bulldogs would claw it back, and then Geelong would kick another two. But it was really tense right at the end. It looked like Bulldogs could have come with
they
their
could
momentum
have, yeah.
and stole the game. But yeah,
they had more momentum. Aaron Norton is one worth talking about. I don't know why he signed this big contract and he's almost not even playing forward at the moment.
He's not kicked many goals this year. I can tell you that for free.
No, I mean, Jamara hadn't either. That's the first time he's kicked two, I think, of the year. And it's obviously round four. Lots of hype around him. Something's not happening in the Bulldogs forward line, which we can save for a rainy day to talk about. But yeah, Geelong worthy winners, I think. Seemed more organised on the night and probably deserved to take the 4 points. But yeah, great game. Very end-to-end, quite an open game.
Yeah, just classic Geelong. Just go about their business, don't they?
They do.
They're a very professional outfit. They're very efficient. And it was just one of those games as well. It looked like every time they were going forward, they were going to score. So, credit to them for that. I do want to mention with the forward line, we won't go into it too much, but on paper, it's potentially one of the most potent forward lines in the game. So it's very interesting why it's not clicking at the moment.
Yeah, not getting the balance right, are they? Because, yeah, with Waitman, one of the best small forwards, Jamara, very good key forward, Norton, great key forward.
They got Rory Lobb as well.
Yeah, Lobb can't get a game. It's interesting that it's not working, but so often you see that there may be one too many stars in there. It's not.
I just want to say Sam Darcy as well. It was good to see
him come back
in.
Yeah.
Yeah, top two pick.
He looks another top talent, doesn't he?
Yeah, and he's been riddled with injury in his first 2 years. So it was good to see him come in and kick three snags. He looked really good. So
he's a big boy, isn't he? You can see how he's got some injuries because he's only got a small frame on a big body, but going to be a star.
He'll grow into that. Yeah, he's a very good player.
Good to see him playing forward as well, because I think he spent quite a bit of time down back in previous seasons when he has been fair.
Yeah, I think they were playing around with him because, again, they've got so many tall options in the forward line. So, but I think he cemented his place there after that.
Libba career-high clearances as well. Shout out to Libba.
Libba, there was a lot of big disposals in that game. There were several players that got over 35. So, yeah, it was a very exciting game to watch in that regard. All right, let's move on to the Sunday games. The first game of Sunday. Yes, okay.
The Expansion Cup.
Yeah, you talk us through this, mate, because this is your boys.
Giants v Gold Coast Suns. Obviously, both the new teams soon to be knocked out of the rotation when Tassie finally come into the league. So they're taking their time in the Expansion Cup spotlight. And it's one that the media built up before the round started, mainly as a joke, that obviously neither team has much relevance in the grand scheme of Victorian media, etc. But it was a game that you looked at and thought that would be quite an interesting matchup, really, because Gold Coast in a transition period, but have looked decent at times. Giants look very strong, but, you know, Gold Coast definitely could test them, and they really did. Gold Coast took us all the way, and really disappointing as a Giants fan watching this one. Are you still there? Can you hear me?
Yeah. Why are you disappointed?
I thought it might happen because we've played North and West Coast since we beat Collingwood. Then we've had a bye, and I feel like it's easy to just come in and just be in a lull, and I think we were for the first three quarters of that game. I think Gold Coast dominated us pressure-wise, and we were really disappointed. We started kicking down the line and doing things that aren't characteristic with our game style, so disappointed watching that. But we got the win, and I think that's enough to leave with the 4 points in a slightly disappointing day is what good teams do, so it's a good sign. But yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, surely that's a positive if you're not playing your best and you still get a 30-point win.
Yeah, it's hard to argue, but it was frustrating watching because you know we're better than that. Like, we sort of stooped down to a level that we're not usually playing at, especially pressure-wise. We usually dominate that.
Fair enough, mate. Well, thanks for being so open and honest. next game was quite a good game. Sorry, fucking choking on my water. The next game is quite a good game too between Richmond and St Kilda. Well, I don't know, good, but close. Very low scoring. They played at the Fortress of Norwood Oval, the Coliseum. Richmond, 9 goals, 6-60, were defeated by Saints, 9 goals, 13-67. So 7 points then. Richmond got out of the blocks hot, didn't they?
They did. Another game that they've narrowly lost that they could have easily won, really. Again, great signs for Richmond fans, but they'll be disappointed that they couldn't have turned one of these close losses into 4 points, because obviously that's what it's about at the end of the day. But yeah, I would not be disappointed if I was a Richmond fan. Not too disappointed, at least.
Nah, you had fucking Dusty come back in and just be Dusty with 30 touches.
Yep.
Shy Bolton with 4 goals and 20 touches. That's some game. So they had some really good performers. It's weird. Richmond are in a weird team this year because, like, they look there, but they're just not getting the wins.
Some big outs in this one for Richmond. Obviously, Lynch was a massive out, but they really held their own against Saints, who were very formidable on that day, and they're organised and structured, and they had them on the ropes for at least 3 quarters that game.
Yeah, I did not give them a chance at all going into this game.
Likewise.
So, I think they put up a really good fight, so fair play to them. But yeah, St Kilda... Yeah, just very professional outfit with Rossi there. So
absolutely, Ross saw his opportunity.
What
I that, did?
That's a good Ross. Yeah, I was going to say, don't you have someone to bring up?
I did. Now
regarding Ross,
I'm going to speak a little bit like this because it's kind of spooky scenes. Yeah, put some, you know, that do 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 do. Put some of that music over this if you can, mate. Because
I have no idea what that is.
You know, the like supernatural.
Oh, you're talking about that X-Files.
Yeah, like the that one. If you can, even if you don't put it over, you just hum it. Yeah,
I'll just do it in the background. Ready, go.
There was a UFO sighting in Adelaide at Norwood Oval at about 3:20 Victorian time. Ish. And what I am alluding to is the fact that Ross Lyon said 22 aliens played for St Kilda Football Club. I feel like it's too loud that. It's definitely too loud. The point of the matter is forget the X-Files. Ross the boss, he said 22 aliens came out and played for Saints, which has got to be a first in the AFL. All 22 vilified by Finlayson.
What?
What Ross was saying is that it was very uncharacteristic the way that the Saints played, and he was suggesting 22 foreign players who he's never seen before played that first half for Saints, who kicked 1 goal in the half. And yeah, very uncharacteristic of a team that he coaches, isn't it?
For them to be aliens, yeah, very uncharacteristic. Yeah.
Usually they're just from Perth or something, but very weird one for Ross the boss. He's very open in the media these days, isn't he? He's less of a hard case and more of a softie since his time on Triple M and the Footy Show and all the rest of it.
Can you do your impersonation of him again? It's quite good.
Thanks, man. Just our opportunity today, guys. he gives me your dad energy, but that's obviously a very personal reference. So.
Let's not bring up my dad on the pod, please.
No worries. Is your dad Mario Lyon?
You didn't let me finish up my sentence. Oh, let's not bring up my dad on the pod unless it is while using his tipping nickname, unfucking believable.
We'll get into that, mate. We'll get into that.
Let's get into the last game of the round, which was between Collingwood,
the Ginnivan Cup.
Yeah, versing the Hawks and the Jack Ginnam Cup. And this was another fucking nail biter as well. There's a couple nail biters this week.
Well, yeah, another one that you probably wouldn't have given Hawks a chance. Again, lots of outs, had a weird side named, but really held their own.
Yeah, would not have given them a sniff, especially with Collingwood finding their mojo back last week. But yeah, they Collingwood 11 goals 11 77 defeated Hawks 11 goals 6 72. There's a lot of games that were close where they kicked the same amount of goals the teams. That's an interesting little stat.
That's it. Behinds win your games. You heard it here first.
So yeah, Maggies won by 5 points in the end. But yeah, it went right down to the wire.
Ginnivan kicked two, of course, had to on his big day.
Yeah, and was quite a nuisance to the Collingwood back line.
Yeah, I saw there was a bit of chippiness between him and a few of the players. And he got a head high free kick.
He did. Of course. It's classic him. Played it well.
Yep.
But the goalie was fucking really, really good this game. I feel like he has been a bit not himself starting the year, but it was good to see him get back into form.
Yeah.
30 touches and a goal. It's a big game. Tom Mitchell wound back the clock a bit too.
Against his old touches. Mob and against his dad.
Yeah. Sam. good
Are
one,
they
good
related?
One, good one. No. Nah. Not at all. Carl Amon, Jai Newcombe were good for the Hawks as well. And fucking Blake Hardwick, who's been a fucking rugged back pocketer most of his career. They chucked him up forward and he kicked four.
Yeah. Weird when players do that. They make it look easy. The forwards must be like, shit, you're making us look bad when a backman just swings up there and kicks a few.
Yeah, it's unreal. So good to see that. Yeah, look, Hawks, lots to look forward to if you're a Hawks fan. They're going to be very good in the next few years. I really like the way they play, and their young players are very exciting. So
they'll be licking their lips for when they play Adelaide. They'll be looking at 4 points.
Yep.
Circle the date.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was Gather Round. Which is round four. Then we move into round five next week, mate. Do we want to get straight into the tips, or what do we get?
Well, I
now?
Thought we'd do the quiz, mate, because we always like to recap the round. And then once we've done that, I quiz you on the things that were.
Go on, mate. Let's make it a quick one.
Quick one, mate. Who got the most touches for the round with 38?
Oh, that was Brayshaw, wasn't it?
Brayshaw. Andrew or Angus?
Andrew.
R.I.P. Angus. Who had the most ruck contests, mate, with 98 ruck contests?
Probably Riley O'Brien.
Oh, it was nice. Tim English.
Yeah. Fair play.
Who had the most clearances? We spoke about this.
Libba.
You are on the money, brother. Who had the most marks on lead in this one with 5?
Marks on lead. That's definitely not a Crows player. Fuck, who kicked? Was it Bailey Fridge?
Looks like a walrus.
A walrus?
Walrus, yeah.
Fucking, I can't recall a player with a tail and fucking tusks.
It's Joey Danner.
Oh, Jesus.
He does look like a walrus. And who had the most goals, mate? Those two players both kicked 5.
Yeah, Joe was one of them, wasn't he?
Correct.
Joe kicked a bag, and I reckon the other bag was... Fuck. God, tell me what day was this game played?
It was at your old home, mate.
Oh, Hogan.
It was not Hogan. It was Toby Green.
Oh, Toby kicked 5. How many did Hogan kick? Four.
Yeah, your Coleman medal call looks very good, by the way.
Very good.
Who had the most turnovers? Think most touches.
Brayshaw.
Correct, mate. Of course, when you have that much, you're going to give it away a bit on you. And who had the most clangers? He is our clanger of the week. I'll give you a clue. He's not from Australia.
Radigalia.
12 clangers, and it was Connor Nash.
Connor Nash.
Final one for the week, mate, as we love a bounce on this show. Who had the most bounces? It is a winger from the western side of Australia who's playing some really good footy since his move in the off-season.
With this recent off-season?
Oh, yeah.
Misspoken. Sharp?
Yeah, Jeremy Sharp with six bounces is our basketballer of the week.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking part of my quiz. See you next week.
Sick, mate. Good stuff. Good stuff, man. All right, let's get into the tipping for round five.
Beauty. And let's just recap who did well. I feel like I had quite a good round of tips this week, mate.
Did you, mate?
My comps, let's go in and under. View tips. Oh, I'll tell you what. I can't see who got what right. On the ladder. There we go. Unfucking believable is top of the ladder. He got 8 correct last round.
Fuck, that's a big round.
You know he got level with both myself, Caruso 22, Dubs FC, and that's it. So we were all joint on 8, but unfucking believable with 27 correct tips is our leader with the lowest margin of 99.
Nice. Who's rounding up the top two or three?
Haskalai with 27 is joint. Caruso is joint with 27. Dubs FC 27. And then myself and yourself round out the top six with 23.
Fuck, we are far behind, aren't
no,
we?
No, it's early days, mate. Nothing.
It's close at the top. I like to see that.
Nothing to get ahead of ourselves. But let's get into round four. Five tips, mate. You got Melbourne v Brisbane at the MCG.
Thursday night footy. Mate, Brisbane sort of broke their MCG. What's the word?
Hoodoo.
Last year they were playing good footy there. But have they been playing good enough footy there? Have they been playing good enough footy in general this year for me to warrant tipping them? I want to say they will bounce back.
It's a big
but
call.
You can't tip against Melbourne at the moment. They have been really solid, so I'm going to go Melbourne.
You go Melbourne. I'm going to go Brisbane.
All right, mate, you do that.
Brisbane
I'm
by 23.
I'm going to go Melbourne by 12. I'm going to go them by 14.
Interesting. First split early on. What about Bulldogs? Essendon, I will be at this game as I'm an honorary Bulldogs member.
Yeah, I think Bulldogs going to be pretty flat about their loss against Geelong, so they'll come out.
Get the job done under the roof. Yep, fair play.
Yep. The Giants and Saints, I think Giants will have a repeat of that semi-final where they cream the Saints, and it's at home too. So,
Oval, don't like it. Manuka Oval.
That's your spiritual home.
Yeah, I don't like the spiritual home, mate. I'm not a very spiritual person, and I don't think any of the players are the way they play there.
Yeah, okay.
I am going, we'll go the Giants, why not? Too organised for the Saners. Too much pressure. It's a pressure cooker. Carlton v the Crowies. Oh, you were right when you said it's not an easy one.
Yep.
You could play North and it wouldn't be easy the way you're going, though, wouldn't it? So, going to have to go with Carlton. Vic Byers.
I'm tipping the Crows. They have to win a game soon.
No. you're silly.
They're bound to win one, so I'm just going to keep tipping them until they win one.
Suns, Hawks. I hate when they this two games on the Saturday night. Why? Why can't you spread it out? Winds me up. Suns, Hawks. Yeah, got to go Suns at home. Looked good against the Giants. Port v. Dockers. Frio, did they stay the week in Adelaide?
Yeah, I think they are.
Gonna have to go Port, me.
Yeah, that's gonna be a close game, but I'm gonna back Port too.
Going the Porters. Straight into Cats North, obvious one there. Cats get it done at home.
Cats.
Misery continues. What a shocking start for North. Like, they've had a rough start, the teams they've had to play.
They have.
That's rough.
Well, to be fair, every team is hard for them, so.
Yeah, but who have they played? Giants, Carlton. I can't remember the others. They've played a lot of decent sides, though. Brisbane, yeah. And then Eagles v Richmond. Whoa.
I kind of want to go Eagles.
I want to have a punt on Eagles, but I'm not an idiot, so I'll stick with Richmond.
Well, I am in the opportune sort of position to have a little punt. So I'm going Eagles for this game.
Ooh.
I think they've got a very solid defense. So I think they'll nullify Richmond's forward line. So I think that, they could sneak a win in Perth.
There may be a late change, a late scratch on my tips, but I'm going to go Richmond for now.
All right, mate. Good stuff.
Watch this
Who's
space.
Got buys this week?
The buys are Sydney and Collingwood.
Yeah, cool.
Of course.
All right.
Now, Carmen, before we exit the show, mate, it's been a pleasure. I just want to say that quickly. Love your monologues about the Crowies, if it's opposite day. But at the top of the show, I ask you, can Gavin jink? What's your answer to that question, mate?
My answer to that question...
You said it was easy. You said it was obvious.
Can Gavin jink? And if I know what... If I'm thinking jink, I'm thinking plays the high tackle free very well. Ooh. And that is Jack Ginnivan.
He spent the week in the news, so I had to make him my allogram, as we call it on this show. And yes, can Gavin jink? Jack Ginnivan can jink, and he cannot get a head-high free kick until he plays his old team.
Let's call that jinking now, from now on.
Cool. Done. Locked in.
When you draw a high tackle, yep, jink. All right, mate. Well, that's the end of another fucking rip-snorter AFL episode. Hopefully, we are back next week and discussing a Crows win.
See you next week for more Crows woes.
Go the Crows.
Come on, you Giants.